the angel streets toward us to heaven. That you will know the Son is baptized. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, now we turn our attention to the word. Before we get started, let's bow our heads for you. Father, we are grateful for every aspect of which. Thank you for the truth. Thank you that we can praise you, the song we have given. Well, Father, we know that we anticipate the preaching of the word. We anticipate the Spirit speaking to us. And so, Lord, we pray for the fulfillment of each one of us. Come from this experience today, knowing that we have been with you in the present. Well, we are in the midst of a series, are we not? It is, well, let's see. So, as I said, we're in the midst of a series called The Fullness of the Spirit. And as we have been studying the activity of the Holy Spirit, we have seen the Holy Spirit active in Jesus, have we not? When he went to his hometown in Nazareth, he proclaimed that Isaiah's prophecies concerning him had been fulfilled. Here I am, the Messiah, filled with the Spirit of God. And as Jesus ascended to heaven to do his work representing us before the Father, the Spirit of God was sent to do a personal work in the hearts and minds of the Holy Spirit, also the power of his church to carry out its mission in the world, to be witnesses of Jesus to the ends of the earth. And that call to be witnesses extends to 2026. Amen. On the day of Pentecost, the Spirit's work was very, very evident. And you see him communicating to a group in the upper room to all the people who were gathered in Jerusalem for that feast. And the believers burst out into the streets. And as Acts 2 in verse 11 says, we hear them speak in our own languages the wonderful works of God. That's amazing when you think of it. Here are these people who are not educated in all the languages of the people that gathered from all over the place to that feast, and they began to speak in their languages the wonderful works of God. Wow. Now, some interpreted it as these guys are wrong. No, I don't need to say. They're not. This is a fulfillment of what the prophet Joel said, that the Spirit of God would speak through his people. And the transformed people, the converted people, the Spirit-filled Peter stands up with the other apostles and delivers his message. And that message cut the crowd to the heart. And they responded. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? We get the message. Jesus was the Messiah. And we crucified him. But what shall we do now? And this is what Peter said. He said, then Peter said to them, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will what? As many as the Lord our God And as you can see, 3,000 people were baptized. Awesome. Huh? Incredible. You mean to tell me the people who had crucified Jesus, all of a sudden their hearts were transformed and now they're being baptized? Here's what I'm going to say. So here's the recap. The Holy Spirit filled the group in the upper room. The Holy Spirit spoke through that group to reach all those who gathered for the feast. The Holy Spirit moved Peter to preach. The Holy Spirit brought conviction to the hearts of the listeners. The Holy Spirit made the appeal through Peter, and the people responded and were baptized. Wow! And then everybody packed their bags and went home. You're a little reluctant to answer why. You know that wasn't the end. You know that everybody didn't pack their bags and go home. The Holy Spirit didn't pack his bags and go home. Working with the Holy Spirit did not stop, but began to form the church in a way that would cause it to keep depend on. I'll say it before. But in Acts chapter 2, verses 40 through 47, that's what tells us what happened. So here are these spirit-filled people. They've just gone through this, if you want to call it this, tremendous experience, tremendous event. And what happens next? You know what happens next in Adventist Church? We have a series of meetings, and then guess what? We all go home. And we all go back to our whatever we were doing. The Holy Spirit doesn't stop. The Holy Spirit takes people who are spirit filled and he begins to do something. And this, what we're going to talk about today, is the spirits and feelings who have fullness. So this leads us to Acts chapter 2, verses 40 through 47. And if I were you, I would have my Bible open in my lap so that you can see it from where. I'm going to have parts of it up on the screen, but I want you to follow along in your Bibles. And so in verses 40 and 41. Verses 40 and 41, it says, and with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Now, look at what is taking place. The church grows larger through what? Read the screen, folks. Come on.
Preaching.
Preaching of the word, preaching of the gospel, right? Yes. It wasn't the preaching of one 10-minute sermon. Verses 40 through 41 tells us that it was a continuing experience for them. Right? And the theme of that series was be saved from this perverse generation. And that theme needs to be preached today. Amen? That theme needs to be preached. Because in this generation, as we see things happening all around us, it's swallowing up people. But you know what the church should be doing? The church should be gathering up people. Huh? That's what we've been called to do. And the gospel is a message of salvation, and it is as relevant today as it was 2,000 years ago. The gospel still saves people from this perverse generation. Amen. And then we come to Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 43. And we find that the church not only grows larger through the preaching of the gospel, but the church grows deeper through discipleship. Do you have those verses in front of you? It says, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Wow. Notice what happened. People filled with the Holy Spirit continued steadfastly in the apostles. They continued in fellowship with the apostles. They were breaking bread. They were having a meal together. They were praying together. And these are all part of the Christian's experience. And we cannot allow our culture to tell us that we are too busy for these things. We're too busy to gather. You're too busy to pray. You're too busy to learn. You're too busy to have meals together. We're not too busy, are we? We make time for the things that are important to us. And these things that are pointing out to of your church were relevant then. And And so as we go through these things, as we go through Acts 2, 40 through 47, I'm going to give you a secret. Truly, it's a secret because it's from lapsed. The more that a local church does these things, the more that it will grow and retain those who come and be a part. The less you do of these things, the less impact you're going to have. Not only in the church, but on the community. You know? That's a big statement, isn't it? Okay, and then we come. Yes, to verse 42, back to verse 42, but we come also to verse 46. In verse 42, it mentioned fellowship, did it not? But in 46, it tells you what kind of fellowship they had. It says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of with gladness and simplicity. Did you notice how they experienced fellowship? It wasn't only at church once a week. It says that they went from house to house. So not only was there meals together with the apostles, they were meals that they shared in an intimate setting, in each other's homes. It says that they did this with gladness and simplicity. Isn't that cool? You like that? With gladness and simplicity. There wasn't this thing that, oh, I'm going to have a guest over. Why did you invite those people over for Sabbath dinner? You know, I'm not ready. I don't know. You see a wonderful attitude here, don't you? You know what? This is what makes the difference. Okay. Look at the times in which we live. How many of you remember the days, and of course we still have houses on citizens. How many of you remember the days when they were building houses with front porches? And why were they building houses with front porches? Yeah, to be friendly, right? I can remember riding my bike down the street, and you know, there were the Kavanaughs and the Welches and the Breras and everybody sitting down in their front porch and they would bathe in shit because you can come. Now what happens? You look at a house in the garage. Right? And the back porch is turned into a patio. The front porch is turned into a patio. And everything's like this. It's like this. And the garage door goes up. Car goes in. It's almost like yes. We need to have fellowship. Not just at church, but we need to have fellowship more intimately. We need to get to know each other. And this is what's happening among spirit-filled believers. The church will grow warmer through fellowship. And then in verses 4 and 4 to 5, it says this. Now, all things were together, and have all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them as any. Let's ask one time that if this is describing kind of a hippie comedy. You see, as they were together from house to house, as they were in that intimate relationship, they began to discover things. They began to discover each other's needs. And they were willing to give what they had to meet those needs. Because all these people were coming together in the church. And not everybody is at the same social economic level, right? So there's people that have more needs than others. But as they come to the nation, they feel it's not. So whatever they had, whether it was time, talents, or treasures, whatever they had, they should have. So we see, friends, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, do we grow willing to minister or reluctant to minister? But if you don't get to know each other, if the people that sit on this side don't get to know the people that sit on that side, how are you going to figure out? And how many meetings? Whether they're very emotional, whether they're, you know, whatever. How many needs go unmet because people aren't connected as they should be with us? This is a real challenge for us. Get to know each other so well that we're willing to step forward and meet someone. But then you come to Acts 2. 47a, the first part of verse 47. And what does it say then? It says that they were praising God, right? And having favor with all the people. That's right. Praising God and having favor with God. So the church grows stronger through praise. All that we have seen happen with the church comes from experiencing the fullness of God's Spirit. It comes from our hearts Praise comes from our hearts, so sisters. So let me ask you, what happens when we sing in Hashem? What happened when you sing the stars? Did anything rise up in your heart? So when we sing, whether it's a psalm, a hymn, or spiritual songs, the Bible said, what rises up in our hearts? Jesus. He said, I will be abundance. If you are full of the Spirit, praise is because you recognize what God is doing. You're surrounded by it. You're in it. And so what's the result? Look up on the screen. This is the result. And the Lord added to the church how often? Those who were what? So God had the day of Pentecost happen, but the day of Pentecost was to continue, and the church was to continue. We had to be defeated. Experience and fullness of the Spirit is like a magnet. Love, acceptance, and forgiveness shared among God's people drew more people, right? And it was something that they had. Sure, they had religion, right? The Jews had their religion and their traditions and community, but never like this. So now I'm going to challenge you. It may be a little bit of a challenge. A lot of challenges. It just depends on the real purpose. What is your experience? When you didn't answer that question, your heart there, what is your experience? Are you in the TV or leaving? Are you in the obligation? They hope for my mom down there in peace. Are you in the safety? Well, it's better to be in a church house. It's a lot of things that or maybe you're in the benefit mode. I'm here because I can see. Are you willing to do something? The main message is, I'm doing it again. The main message is, that you jump in with that you jump in with 2 feet. I remember as a kid, we wanted to go. The top of the wood. When you jump off, into the wood. Value work, thank you for you. Now you go off the top. And so, there's always climbing the ladder. I kept asking, can I hear this? what is this going to be? And we're going to jump off and then my shorts come off? What's going to happen? You know, you start thinking all this stuff and it's all, it was my turn. You can't turn around and go down, you know, down the ladder. You got to go. And then start feeling depression. When you're standing there and the emotions and the feelings and fear is starting to build. And I remember this guy behind me said, well, just go. What are you waiting for? And you've never experienced right, the decision. And you can't go. And it's just down to me. And it was this silicon food. I said, I have to be hit. I don't know how many times I did it, but I did it again and again and again. Many of us are afraid to jump in the fire. How many of us are afraid? Not able to, you know, some of us shouldn't be. But you know what I'm saying? We don't jump in. Therefore, we don't have the experience. And we end up being spectators. Please. Think about what I shared with the young lady who was really pondering. What direction should I go with my life? We need to see. Am I in? And if I'm going to be in, am I all the way in? Am I wholehearted about this or half? Yes, the decision is for us to make. But the Spirit of God is there. And the Spirit of God will lead us and guide us into all truth. And just not talking about Bible truth, but truth about the world. Because we know the Bible is very important. Jesus is coming. So, I'm going to be here. But I want as many people to be here. And I'm grateful for every opportunity to finish with this. I have a cousin who lives in the city. What do you want? And she watches and so when she watches, like, you want your best behavior? He watches. Still with Jesus. That's not good. So, folks, as you think about your experience, are you a person who's filled with the Holy Spirit? Or is your vessel half? Thank you.